Today in our podcast, we're going to share all our favorite ways to connect with your kids. You want game ideas? You want other ways to intentionally make that connection deeper that goes into adulthood? You're going to get a lot of ideas today from the podcast.
Welcome to the Art of Raising Humans.
Hello and welcome to episode 85 of the Art of Raising Humans. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Sarah.
And we are going to talk today about the power and purpose of intentionally connecting as a family. And man, we love the fall, right?
We do.
But the fall is busy.
It is. Everything, yeah. A lot for us. And I think that's true for a lot of people because whatever your kids are involved in, it's all going on in the fall. Yeah. and then you have holidays stacked on top of
coming
all
coming up, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and there's a lot of football games to watch, right? Is that why it's busy?
So busy because of football. So, that's
right. And soccer games, I love that. So a lot of things to watch, but really it's busy.
It's busy because of all the things.
The kids are back in school. Mm-hmm. There's all these new, things are getting scheduled. It's like our calendar's just like, it's like all these things are popping up. I'm sure most of the listeners can relate to that.
There's so really many fun wonderful things to do.
But it's like practice and scrimmages.
It's so much. Like, and even field trips and play dates and
all those fun.
All the
and then things. We love it. So we want to go on hikes. So the reason why I thought this podcast would be so helpful is in this busyness, okay, what I've been hearing over and over again, Sarah, in the practice is kids who now are later in their teenage years, and there's just not intentional connecting happening anymore, mm-hmm. right? And then when I explore with the kids, like, oh, we used to have this thing that we always did, or every Friday night it was this, or we had this, and now we just don't do that anymore. I'm like, how come? Because we all got too busy, you know?
Yeah.
The work schedule won't work out. Mom and dad's work schedule with the teenager's work schedule, and it's like slowly but surely, they all started to disconnect, right?
Yeah.
And then you find now they're actually trying to talk about big issues, big decisions, which college you're going to go to, what job you're going to, but there's a lack of connection to really have those kind of conversations, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And so then the kids just more leaning on their peers instead of their parents, because that's who they're spending all their time with, right?
Yeah.
And so I really wanted to kind of just put a little thought in our listeners' heads about, man, and of course we're in this too, because we've got a teenager now, is just, how do we not let the busyness take us over and we intentionally stay connected as a family?
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Because I think even sometimes you're around each other.
Yes. In proximity. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But you need, there's also, it's not just saying be around your kids, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. but there's a difference when you're actually connecting with them in that time that you have. And some people may say, well, it's just impossible. We have so much, but you can also just making the most of the time you do have is also, if there's an intentionality to connect in that time, that can be really powerful too.
I've always thought, Sarah, before we ever had kids, I'd love the saying, families that play together, stay together.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. I think that's true. I think some of my best memories of childhood is us playing together.
Yeah.
And that may be look like us playing tennis together. It may look like us camping together. It may look like all, but those memories, I think, those are times I really felt connected to my parents, was when we mm-hmm. played together, you mm-hmm. know? Now you were talking about the stat about, and this may be alarming to some of our listeners, but tell me about
that
stat.
It was alarming to me.
about our time spent with our kids. Can you share that with them?
Yeah. So by the time that your child becomes a teenager, you've spent 75% of the time you're ever going to spend with them. So if you take your whole life, their whole life, and you say, okay, this is all the time I'm ever going to spend with you. Before, you know, the end, before you move on, 75% of that's going to happen by their teenage years. And then by the time they're 18, 90% of that time.
Oh my gosh.
So I don't know who studied this.
Yes.
I don't remember the source of it, but it just really hit me hard. I thought, looking at my teenager, thinking, wow.
75% is done. Yeah.
And then I've got this little bit left, and then that's 90% of the time. And then I think as an adult, how much time am I spending with my parents? Yeah. Of course, there's going to be some variations to some of this, but 90% by the time they're 18.
I know. Yeah. That's a lot.
It is.
Yeah. And so what are, if we know that's important, and I think everybody listening to that is maybe like, whoa, that does seem like a lot, but that's probably true, right?
Kind of crying inside a little bit right now.
So what are the challenges to doing this? You know, why is it so difficult, Sarah, for families to get together and spend time together? I know we hit a few of them on different activities and stuff, mm-hmm. But but what's some of the other challenges you see to making that happen?
Besides just schedules and busyness.
Go ahead.
I was going to say habits.
Yes.
You know, you might have the habit of, we see this, you know, teenagers especially are might be in the habit, or even a kid, they they go in and they go to their game, gaming device, or up to their room, or on their phone, or whatever it might be. Sometimes you see families come in and just go their separate ways. And it's just... it's just a habit, you know. Oh, I like this thing. It's relaxing to me. And before you know it, you're all in different rooms doing different things.
Watching different things. I see a lot of families, they have TVs in each room, screens in everybody's hands. And it's just, it's easier to avoid the conflict and just say, I'll watch this and you watch that, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's just easier to do that. It's just more fluid. I also find, Sarah, if there's a lot of sibling conflict, I find a lot of siblings, it's just not enjoyable then when they come together, because there's a lot of fighting and arguing. And, you know, I even remember as a kid, sometimes that would happen with us. We play every time we played a board game, it turned into a big argument, or somebody would cheat to win or something like that. And so it's like, let's just stop doing this. You know?
Yeah. Why are we spending time together?
Because you're like, man, when I play with my friends, we don't do this. I'd rather go do that with them, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of those conflicts as people get older, that can be an issue. I know for us in particular, we always kind of made it an important thing. And not to say this is when we share this stuff, this doesn't have to be for you. It's just something that we did, is we intentionally always only had one TV, you know, and we only had one TV. We used that to watch stuff, and it caused us to compromise. It caused us to have to think about
it. It's not that it's always comfortable.
Yeah. And once we got a different house, we did get a second TV for the playroom, you know, but even that TV is not used all that often, you know.
Yeah.
It typically is we're in the family room watching, just particularly because you and I didn't want to watch separate things. We wanted to, you know, have to compromise there, you know. But then, because I think that can be a bad habit to get into if you and I are constantly being drawn to the
stuff. Gets more comfortable over time, and you're just separate more and more over time.
Yeah, and not to say that's bad.
No, there's times for it. There's times we do separate intentionally and say, okay, well, they're going to watch this and they're going to watch that, and that's okay this time.
Yeah.
But it is something we think about.
Yeah. And so once again, this isn't about bad or good. It's more just like, what are the habits we're creating? And are we intentional about those habits? Are we intentional about coming together? Like, I remember there was a time there for a while where we were watching shows that only the older two could watch and the youngest couldn't. And I remember we would then have her go watch something else on an iPad, right? And then, but then we noticed that became a habit. Like, pretty soon.
It didn't take very long. And next thing you know, she's like, hey, I'll just take my thing and go watch
it. Well, we'd even ask her, like, we were finally like, oh, you can watch it. And she's like, no thanks. I'd rather go off and watch my own thing. We're like, wait, what is happening here? So that's when we talked to the older two about, hey, we need to, for a time, let's just focus on integrating her back into this activity rather than her being
and
off
sometimes
by herself.
Then I'll go.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've done it where at least there's not an isolation.
Yeah.
You know, it's there's.
Yeah. Well, you'll
and
go
that's
off
something that's important for us, because we do enjoy movies. We enjoy doing that together and then talking about them and how, you know, create. That's something that for us we love. And so we just want to be careful that it doesn't wind up. We want to be intentional about how we're doing that, and that we maintain relationship within that, because TV can be something that's real easy to disconnect.
Yeah.
And everyone's just sort of faded.
Off, off to their
own. And we
things.
Don't want it to become that. For us, it's a value that we still stay connected even if we're watching something.
So it's important. I think we can all agree it's important to be intentional and connect, right? It's important to have these routines specifically for these times. So I think it's easy to let go of these routines during the busy times. And there might be moments where you're being flexible that way.
Right.
But I think it's really important to be intentional of saying, how then are we going to connect, right? Yeah.
Because we're not asking for a rigidity.
Yes.
I don't care what's going on.
Every
Saturday
Friday night is this, and I don't care what's, we're not saying that.
Yeah, because that wouldn't be.
But to have an invitation to everybody in the family that this is important, that we are connecting together intentionally, right? And what's so important about that, Sarah? What's so important about making space for these moments? Like, why do we need to be so intentional about coming together as a family and really enjoying each other together?
Well, that connection is important, obviously, for relationship, because if you, no matter who it is, if you don't spend time with people, and not just in the room, but, you know, connecting with people, then you lose relationship over time. Yeah. And whoever you are around, those are the people. So if you think about your children, you think, who do I want them to be really connected to?
Yeah.
You know, is it their friendship group? Is it the coach? Is it me?
Yeah.
You know, where, because it's going to happen.
Yep.
So
they're going to connect to someone.
How are we going to do that? Yeah. Yep. And then you're always, you know, I even think I want my kids when they, I'm hoping that 90% isn't true. Right. So I lay that groundwork now. You have to do that now.
Yeah.
And I know at the end of the day, your siblings, your family is always your family. Mm-hmm. And so I want that to be something that's enriching. And I don't care if they're 10, 40, 60. I want that connection between them and between us.
Well, I'm even thinking like the real typical thing a marriage counselor would definitely recommend if there's conflict in the marriage is they would say, how much are you guys connecting? Yeah, how much time are you intentionally spending each other as a spouse? I know for you and I look back over 21 years of marriage, there's times where it was more tense and there was more conflict, typically because we were not spending time enjoying each
other. Helps
reduce
that.
Yeah, because we got busy. And you see that a lot of times with divorces and things like that, is there's just less connection because we're all doing these things that seem good and they are good, but we're not being intentional about coming back.
Happens.
Yes, and we slowly, then once that separation happens, it's harder and harder to deal with conflict, to do the repair that we talked about in the previous podcast. It's harder and harder to do those things because we're not spending time together. Right. And I find even the teenagers I speak to, Sarah, they just don't think it's worth the effort, you know, because the connection's not happening. They know there might be a conflict they want you to help them with. But in order to give you that whole backstory of all that conflict that's been going on, it would just take too long and they don't want to rehash it with you. Mm-hmm. So they'd rather just go to a friend who already knows the story and so on. So we know as kids grow older, they are going to become more independent, and that's good.
Right.
They're going to start finding.
And their circle's going to expand.
Yes.
Their circle
and that's all good and healthy, right?
It's going to go with peers.
So they're spending more time talking with peers, and our time as parents get less and less, like you were saying, right? So that's why even more so we've got to get that quality time in. Maybe it's not quantity, you know? So we want to share some of our favorite ways that we like to do this or ways other people we know do this. I remember reading one book by a guy. The book's called Staying Connected with Your Teenager. He did something funny, Sarah, where he noticed that more and more as his kid got older and older, he was less and less open to talking about school and saying how his school day went. And so he noticed one night he woke up and was thirsty. He went to the bathroom, went, got a drink of water, saw his son up. It was like 11 o'clock at night. And the son was much more talkative. He was like, "Hey, Dad, what's going on?" And they started talking. And he was like, "That was interesting." He was very open. And, you know, so he purposely a couple times a week set his alarm to wake up at 11, 1130 at night. And would just randomly go get some water. And then all of a sudden he finds out who his son's hanging out with, what people he's romantically interested in. And he was like, "Oh, so for a couple years, it was tiring, but I did it because I needed to stay connected." So, you know, those kind of creative ideas I think are interesting.
I love that. Yeah.
But let's share some of the things that we intentionally do. And listeners, we'd love to hear back from you about things you intentionally do. Especially we'll be doing some reels this week and next week about this on our social media, on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok, things like that, to where we'll talk about some of these activities that we like to do, but we'd love to hear back from you. So why don't you share some of the ones you really enjoy?
I like playing games. Okay. So we do lots of different kinds of card games, board games, whatever kind of game, we'll get new games and try out new ones and find favorite ones. So I love connecting through games.
You want to share some of your favorite games now so listeners might?
Rainbow Pirates. Introduced to that from some friends in Colorado.
The Davidsons, they're awesome. Yeah.
Shout out to them. We love Rainbow Pirates. We've recently, this is one you and I had done a lot early on, but we've got brought back in phase 10.
Oh, phase 10.
That's a fun one.
Uno's a classic.
Yeah.
Flip, Uno Wild, Uno whatever, all types of Uno. Kids love that.
And I like games where we're on the same team. So sometimes switching it instead of being competitive against each other, you know, we look for those collaborative games.
Ticket to Ride.
Yep.
Right. We love that. Yeah. That's one with trains. We also love, recently we got one for Father's Day call. I think it was called Trekking.
Checking the parks.
So it was all about doing the national parks, similar to Ticket to Ride.
Yeah, we love travel, so it kind of combines that.
So those board games are fun. So we'd love to hear other ones that you enjoy doing. We've done Exploding Kittens, Right?
We have zombie kittens.
So those are some fun card games.
Sequence. We could go. We have a long list of games. I know. Anyone needs some games.
Rummy Cube is awesome.
Sushi Go.
Yes, that's a Skip Bow. That's another one. So kid, these are games that, man, when Ellie was as young as 5 or 6, she was playing these with us. And they're ones that all the way up to our 13-year-old. We can all sit down. They're fun. They're challenging. And it's a good time.
And the youngest one, sometimes if it's too old a game, we just have her team up. So she's on one of our teams so that she can still participate and play. And we just incorporate her that way.
Okay. And what's some other ways that you, other things you like to do? I know eating together is important.
Yeah, the stats on that, you can easily find that. There's great stats on having a meal together.
Yeah, and not sitting in front of the TV. Yeah. I know, as a kid, we did that a lot. We just sat in front of the TV and watched.
And sometimes that's so fun.
I know.
Grab pizza and a movie. That's so fun. Mm-hmm. But we are pretty intentional about trying to have a meal where we don't have phones, we don't have TV, and we're, eating and talking together.
Mm-hmm. Reading. It's another one we like to do, right, with the kids.
Yeah.
So I remember reading. So I really love Lord of the Rings. I love The Hobbit. Mm-hmm. I know other books like that, especially since they were little, right?
They were babies. Yeah. I mean, as soon as they could sort of be propped up in my lap, I would read to them at night. And so I've read to them since they were probably 3 months old.
And I was always surprised how much they loved the stories, how into it they were. No matter how tired we were, reading it, the kids really loved it. It was a great way to continue the connection, because then they'd look forward to the next night. We'd read some more stories. So I think reading, and then what we wanted to cultivate was just a habit of reading to where even we could connect by everyone getting their favorite book and reading. So where that's something that we've seen happen as they've gotten older, where it's just been a cloudy, rainy day, perfect for reading. Maybe get the fire on and we could sit back and just read a book. We're all reading our books together. And then we're sharing those stories together, and then lots of those stories. What I love, Sarah, is those books turn into movies. There'll be a movie about that book, and then we can watch that movie together and share that experience. Another one I really enjoy, you alluded to earlier, was movies and particularly shows. And these aren't just random ones. These are ones I'm very intentional about, about movies that I think, were played a big part in our childhood, right? And I'm sure a lot of people listening, the Star Wars movies, I'm looking forward to, this is kind of the nerd in me, but the Star Trek movies, I want to enjoy those because I did that with my dad as a kid. We always went and saw Star Trek at the movie theater. Mm-hmm. So I want to include those, but the Lord of the Rings movies, the Marvel movies, there's all types of different ways.
Yeah, even our childhood favorites.
Yeah.
And even if they weren't even that good, we watched Homeward Bound recently because that was just a big deal way back.
But even then, they get a peek into your childhood that way, right?
Yeah.
There's that connection where it's not just a movie. It's not just like a time waster. It's intentional about the movie I'm sharing with you and the memories that you had watching that movie, And so I just think even being intentional, some of the shows, particular shows that we liked as kids, or even shows that they like as kids, like right now.
Oh yeah, we watch their shows with them. Mm-hmm.
Well, like what's the show that they can't have enough of right now?
How to Train Your Dragon.
Yes.
How to Train a Dragon. And so if you know this, there's movies, there's shows. And
Dragon's Race to the Edge, all this kind of stuff.
Yes. And so we watch all of those and Bluey.
Yeah.
And we will sit down, and even though it wouldn't be my first choice, I will sit and watch it with them. I'll put down my stuff. Sometimes that might work.
Yeah.
But if I prioritize, okay, let's put this down. Let me watch it with you, because it means something to them.
Yeah.
They notice when I actually watch the show and I'm engaging in it with them and laughing at the jokes. And
I had a really funny conversation with our son the other day where Paw Patrol has come back into the mix, right? And he was a huge Paw Patrol fan when he was really young, but hasn't watched Paw Patrol for many, many years. But now his sister has discovered it, and now he's loving watching it with her. And it's interesting. That's another thing where, yes, they're watching something. They're not talking together, but he is excited about sharing that with her.
Yeah, he's sharing his favorite episodes.
Yes,
he's you need to watch.
He wants
this
me
one.
To get a Paramount Plus subscription so he can now. He's like, Dad, get a Paramount so we can now watch this. And I love that he's doing similar to what we've been doing. Of I want to share this with you. I want to give you a piece of this childhood to you, right? Mm-hmm. So other ways we connect is we love the outdoors.
Yeah.
So hiking, camping. I mean, some of my favorite memories
outdoor
were
fire pit.
Yeah, you know, sitting around the fire doing s'mores. These are mm-hmm. all intentional ways. Yes, all yeah. to. Yeah, and then also they do sports. There's sports that we enjoy. We have teams we support. We support mm-hmm. those teams together. The mm-hmm. kids love it when those games are on. We enjoy that time together.
And we try, for the most part, when one of them has a game, we try to all go to the game. Yeah. Sometimes we can't. But for the most part, we try to go just supporting each other.
But what I love about it, even when they're into adulthood, that could be something that's on TV and we could call them while they're mm-hmm. somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Hey, are you watching the game? And mm-hmm. then we talk. And I'm just thinking, like, I'm trying to think of ways I stay connected to friends who live all over the country. And it's through these kind of ways that we do that. Like, hey, what's the book you've been reading lately? I'm going to read that book. Or, hey, what's the movie you watch? I'm going to go watch that movie. And so mm-hmm. connecting through those ways. And another one that you're really intentional about, Sarah, is the holidays. This weekend, you spent time kind of decorating the house for the fall, mm-hmm. Putting more fall stuff up. Ellie was helping you with that. So the kids connect with you through this feeling of putting these fall things up. And, mm-hmm. and why is that so important to you?
Well, I think for me, I think back, my mom made the holidays really magical. That's one of my favorite memories. And those traditions, a lot of people will mention when they're older, they'll mention the traditions of their childhood. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to be intentional about creating this sense of warmth and connection and relationship. And for me, through the tradition of the holidays and creating that atmosphere, they remember, they tell stories from years ago of different things we've done. And so I want to just help build that. Those memories and sense of connection through that.
And the last one would be our road trips. We love to do road trips.
We do, yep.
So mm-hmm. so we love the kids really enjoy the adventure of a road trip. Mm-hmm. And so once again, that's a real important, really a real way of intentionally connecting. You have all that time in the car to talk, all that mm-hmm. space to bond. Mm-hmm. And that's something that, I mean, to me, up into college, I was doing these fantastic road trips with friends. And mm-hmm. I remember all these great memories and all these adventure states that we've never been to before.
The things you see and playing games in the car. And Or we do those we bring those cards that are questions, what if you had to eat this or this?
Type questions. Yeah. Or would you rather?
If you could go anywhere in the world, mm-hmm. those kind of things. So we'll do those in the car.
Yeah. Or even you did that one that was called Rubberneckers.
Yeah.
And that was where you're trying to get other people in other cars to honk their horn catch them picking their nose. We're all on the same page trying to find, you get points for those things. And that's really fun.
Yep. And when you find that thing, you get that card, you get those points. Yep. Anyway, it's a fun card game. If you're traveling and you're trying to not do screens and you want something else to engage everybody, it's mm-hmm. kind of a silly one.
But even on the road trips, I love how intentional we are about that. There are times where they're all watching a movie mm-hmm. together because the road trips are long, right?
Yeah.
And there's fun things. That's a memory too, watching the movie. But mm-hmm. then when we're done with that, there's other ways to connect, other games.
Bingo. Looking for license plates. Mm-hmm.
I remember when we saw Hawaii, a license plate. And then Alaska, it was like, yes!
And Rhode Island.
Yes!
Just try to find Rhode
Island,
people.
We were all so excited.
We have seen every license plate. Yes. From every state.
That was so fun.
Yeah, it was magical mm-hmm. to see Hawaii. It was on a trailer, too. Mm-hmm. The other one I want to say that I feel like is a really important daily connection for us, even when it's really inconvenient, we say goodnight to our kids.
Yeah.
We go to their room.
Yeah.
We kind of connect, even if it's just a real short check-in.
Yeah.
Sometimes, but man, do they open up.
They do. Yep.
That's when they really talk. And sometimes we have to kind of rush it, but when we can sit and just enjoy that, similar to when he's waking up at 11:30, I always want to make a point to have even a mini just sort of check-in. It's just one-on-one. Yeah. You know, we do it separate. So I'll go in and say goodnight to my daughter or my son or whatever have that point.
And that they know it's going to come every night. They know if they need to talk, it's going to be there, right?
Yeah, they have a little window to...
The busyness, the tiredness, we just don't do it anymore.
And there's no siblings around, And things have slowed down enough. Sometimes my son, especially, he'll say, sometimes these things happen. I don't even think to tell you until I'm going to bed at night. Yeah. And then I remember all this stuff. And so giving him that window is great.
So I hope this helped give you some ideas about ways to intentionally connect with your family, because I can't emphasize it enough how If you want to have a teenager who's going to be open to you and going to talk about this stuff, it's only going to happen through you intentionally connecting and having these kind of family routines in place. So I hope this was helpful to you. We'd love to hear your thoughts back because maybe you got some cool games.
I know. We're looking for more ideas.
We'd love more ideas. So send
more
them our
games,
way.
More other ideas of connecting that maybe we haven't thought
really
of.
Enjoy that. And so I hope you guys, I hope you're enjoying the fall, and I hope you're going to be inspired by this to find ways over the holidays to make that connection deeper and deeper with you and your kids.
Thanks for listening.
The Art of Raising Humans podcast should not be considered or used as counseling, but for educational purposes only.